Now, about a month ago, Daniel Hearn came into our studio here at the Brentwood Centre to tell us about his forthcoming trip to Brazil with the charity Lions Roar. The aim of the trip was to do something positive for the poor children of Brazil and enjoy the football. Well, Daniel has now returned from Brazil and he now joins me again to tell us how he got on. And he's joined by a colleague. So it's Daniel and George Todd. Thanks for coming in today. Hello. Hi, guys. Now, I've read all about your trip on your fantastic blog, but for the benefit of our listeners, Daniel, could you tell us a little bit about the charity Lions Roar and the aims of your trip to Brazil?
Yeah, sure. So Lions Roar are a charity that aims to use football to bring chances for change, they call it, in communities across the world. For example, we were in Brazil and we were in a favela and we were doing a building project. And they also use football projects, so football in schools as well. So there was 3 schools in Brazil, plus our building project. And they aim to make sure that the World Cup won't pass these communities by, these poor communities.
Yeah, yeah.
That at the moment, well, as it was before we went there, probably wouldn't interact with the World Cup. It was too expensive. It was too far away from them. And also there are communities that have drug and violence within their communities.
Yes. Now, was that sort of immediately apparent when you got there, the poverty, drugs and the social issues, George?
Not at all. It was quite... You had to look for where the poverties were.
The problem was we were in a major city.
Yeah.
And any city around the world, especially in Brazil, which is a developing country, or a strong economy anyway, there are... big industrial, not industrial, like business areas. So, there wasn't any real problem. But the Brazil director of the charity, called Kev Clark, he said on our first meeting that it might not be apparent straight away, but dig deep, look for the problems. And as soon as we went to the favelas, and George can tell you as well that it's so poor out there.
Yeah, mad, really, because there'll be really like shack houses.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a couple of houses, you'll get like a quite a nice house.
Right.
And then it'll be shacks at the other side.
It's yeah.
Hard.
And what do you mean by shacks? Can you sort of describe what they were like? Did you go in any of them to see sort of the conditions that people were living in? Or
we didn't go in any of them.
No.
They were sort of half-built houses, yeah. And it looks like there's a lot of people living in there, living in and around on top of each other, sort of thing. So
yeah.
It's nothing that you would sort of see within the UK or at least in Europe or America like that. So
yeah, yeah.
That was a real shock to us, I think.
Yeah, a bit crazy, that was.
Yeah, the build site was in a favela. I can't say that.
Favela.
Thank you very much, Daniel. A favela called Cajaru. Tell us about Cajaru itself. What was the feeling there? Did it feel comfortable to be walking about there? Or, there are sort of drug problems and what have you. Yeah,
yeah, so if I talk about Cajaru and then if George then speaks about our experience there.
Yeah, yeah.
But basically, Cajaru's the biggest favela in Curitiba.
Right.
And a good way for that we were sort of described the area was there's a main road going across, and then there's a railway track that intercepts it. So make four quadrants.
Okay.
And each quadrant is led by a different gang.
Really.
Who control the area, control the drug trafficking, control sort of the violence, and I was talking to some people and they're basically saying if you're from one gang you don't step in the other side.
Right. Territorial.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, yeah.
And and the thing that stuck out for me at least is we went to go and see some of the kids, and we were told that kids under 10 in Brazil can't be prosecuted for any crime.
Right.
So they use the sort of the drug traffickers and
they use the kids for
to traffic the drugs. Yeah, and they get caught up in the violence. I think was it 16 children or 16 friends and family of the children that were there have died within the past 2 years, been shot because of this.
Yeah.
So it's a very violent place. However, as George will now explain...
Well, it's quite odd, really, because you feel like you can walk around. Like, I didn't feel threatened at all. And it was a bit odd because there was a police station there, but it didn't look like they had much of a,
much to do.
Yeah, it was kind of like they weren't on patrol, really. Most of the cars were in the car park that weren't really doing
and
much.
That could be because of the power that these gangs have in the communities. But as George was saying, we could walk around and we didn't feel threatened at all. In part, that might have been because the communities actually appreciate what we're out there doing.
Now, while you were there, you visited another similar project that was up and running, and it was ran by a Brazilian called Gil, is it?
Gil.
Gil, all right, okay. What was going on there?
So this was one of the three footballing projects.
Yep.
And this was the one we visited, and it wasn't until probably the penultimate build day that we went and visited a project. Yeah. And it was the one I was talking about just now about the children under the age of 10.
It
was a huge project. Some of the other projects had maybe, would I say, 15 children?
Yeah, this was massive.
60, 70 kids a day. So they have only half days of schools out there.
Right.
So in the mornings they would go to school, and in the afternoons they'd have three, and then it'd be vice versa for another group of kids. So they were working there. And then there was also health and social issues as well. Yeah. Sort of like sex education for the kids as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
And then we one day we gave away some items to them that had been donated to the charity, and you gave away shirts and
wristbands and things like that.
Sticker books. And
I expect they were really appreciative of that.
They loved it.
Yeah, excellent. Well, turning back to your own building project, what did you actually manage to achieve during your stay? You were building this education centre, weren't you? How far did you get?
Well, we got there, and I think the local builders, unfortunately, were a few days behind, so we couldn't get as much as we would want done.
Okay.
But, I mean, we built one building, and the others were going up pretty quickly.
Right.
The layout afterwards. The layout of the buildings was sort of in a horseshoe.
Okay.
Yeah. Made of five buildings, and the initial plan was at the end of the 2 weeks we'd get two of the buildings. I think it was up to 15 levels of bricks all around.
Okay.
But actually, what happened in the end is we got two up to 15, and then the other three we got to 10 levels or something like that. So we actually surpassed the expectations of what we needed to do out there.
Well, it was especially good because I think you were battling the weather as well, weren't
you? Exactly.
Completely. There was one day that was a complete write-off. I've never seen rain like it so quickly.
Right. Like 50 pence pieces dropping on the sky.
Really?
Onto a metal roof above your head, and then there's lightning going on. Mm. It's not...
not the place to be.
It's not... No.
Well, fantastic project. How about you guys personally? Did you learn any new skills?
Well, bricklaying.
Bricklaying and how to paint tar onto a foundation. That was a good...
It's apparently an important part of building is to paint tar, or here we lay some sort of material now. I also got an appreciation for others, I guess. It was an eye-opener, to say the least, and to see people in communities that I'd never actually imagined. I knew it sort of existed, but not to those levels.
I think that's something you're going to remember all your life, and I'm sure you've got an awful lot out of it.
Definitely.
Personally. All right, let's lighten up a little bit now. Let's talk about the football. Now, I'm really sorry to do this, Daniel, but the last time you were here, you gave us your thoughts on England's chances in the World Cup. We can hear what you had to say last month now.
Do better than most people probably would expect. I think for once they're going with a "we're not going to achieve much" attitude, and I think they'll actually do well. I think at least quarterfinals. Hopefully, I'll be back after. Oh, and sorry, I'll be back before they come back.
Right,
because in South Africa, Dad came home after they came back, the England team. So hopefully, it'll be a bit different this time. But quarterfinals, that'll be my bet.
Well, come on then, what went wrong?
what went right? I think everything went wrong. I think the worst thing that could have happened to England out there was for them to lose that first game. They went out there for the first game, I think, with the attitude that just go for it. And then I don't know if they were disheartened or whatnot, but the tactics were completely wrong against Uruguay. They went out to not lose games and ended up losing most of them, or two of them. So, and funny enough, we did come back after them.
Yes, you did, yeah. Well, at least we had one successful England team out in Brazil, and that was Lions Roar.
Exactly.
Well done. So what was the general atmosphere like between the fans? Was there any trouble? Was it a good atmosphere?
Well, first of all, there was probably less of an atmosphere around the city as we'd expected.
Right.
Yeah.
We thought there'd be lots of Brazil flags all over the place, and there was a few, but there wasn't as many as we thought. And this was in part because the police in the area set up a mile square cordon around the ground.
Right.
And only ticket holders were allowed to pass this cordon. So there was no real atmosphere up to the ground. Okay. And that was to stop protests and trouble. But then when you got within, was it 100 yards, 200 yards of the ground, it was an amazing sort of atmosphere.
Fan fest. Nice,
yeah. Yeah, sort of a carnival atmosphere and lots of different nations, even though it's not playing. Obviously, we didn't go and see England, but we would England kits, England flags.
Yeah.
But as for trouble,
it's a bit odd, really, because there wasn't trouble between the teams that were playing. It was more about the two local teams.
Like there's Atletico Paranaense, which is one of the big teams, and there's also Curitiba, two big teams in Curitiba, and it's sort of the only way I was describing it to people is if you held a World Cup game at Old Trafford in Manchester, and you had Man City and Man United fans sat next to each other.
Yeah, I get it.
And there was
it's a bit odd, really.
There was probably three or four notable fights,
okay,
I'd say.
Yeah.
Well, that's not too bad, I guess. And I believe you gave away your Leeds shirt. What was that all about?
So, so we went to this project and we were giving away items, and I'd brought my Leeds shirt along, and I thought it'll be... I'm a massive Leeds fan, as is my dad. George is unfortunately Arsenal, but we won't hold that against him.
Can't be helped, can it? No.
Exactly. I wanted to give my shirt away with the hope that I'd give it away to someone that's going to be a future Leeds fan or a future Brazilian Leeds player. You never know. So I handed the shirt. It took a while for someone to actually look like they want it.
Yeah. The good thing about that, though, is Jill. He didn't just give the shirts away to the kids. He'd give it to the kids that had have good attendance, were doing well in the various bits of education.
Yeah, school and stuff.
Yeah. So, reward to
so it was more
them.
Of a reward than brilliant. Just like yeah. just giving shirts away. It was brilliant.
What great work, eh? And while you were there, Daniel, you became something of a PR guru, didn't you? Radio and TV interviews with CNN and Global TV. Did you enjoy that?
It was an experience. It was quite funny. So there was a CNN... the charity, the guy, the CEO of the charity, John Burns, is being nominated for CNN Heroes Award,
okay,
which is really good. And CNN came and filmed for 2 days, us doing various things. There was various interviews and Dad got interviewed and was going on about him coming with his son. So we had to film a piece of us doing father-son sort of building.
Cheesy.
Yeah, it was really American cheesy. And then, Brazilian TV as well came and interviewed, which I think they dubbed my voice, but I think they'd need to put subtitles as well over this Essex twang.
Oh, I'm sure not. Right, let's get a little bit serious again. Now, the project is ongoing and more money is needed to complete it. How can people find out more and send a donation if they'd like to?
So the best thing to do is to go on the Lions Roar website, which is lionsroar.org, and that's LIONSRAW, so Roar is RAW.
Yeah.
And there's a campaign on their homepage called 1330. So they've probably raised, I think, around just under half that money.
Great.
Because... There was a few complications and there was a few different things they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I think this money will probably now come a lot more easier. Now we've got photos and there's a lot of people who haven't been out there to see what's really needed. They want to make sure the building's cladded and it's all completely nice and good standard for the kids.
Fantastic.
So that's 1330 on the Lions Roar website.
Okay. Well, we'll put the details up on the Phoenix FM website as well later on. So if you missed any of that, you can catch it later on our website. Fantastic. What can I say? Daniel and George, brilliant work you and the Lions Roar team have done in Brazil.
Thank you. Congratulations.
What's next for both of you personally?
Personally, I've just graduated. Well, I'll graduate next week, but I just finished university. So now it's... the world of job hunting.
And
George?
Well, I've got the next thing for me is I've got to go back to my house and do band practice because we've got a gig tonight.
Oh, right. What band's that?
It's called Crumbs.
Right.
And we're playing at the Essex Arms.
Ah, right, okay. You're all local, are you?
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to come in for a live session on Phoenix, and that's what we're all about here, promoting local music as well. Okay, so one last question. Out in Brazil, you guys adopted a team song that you ended up singing a few times after a beer or two.
A lot of times.
Yeah? So what was the song, and why did you choose that song?
So the song was Your Song by Elton John.
Yep.
And apparently the story goes that after a few beers, the Brazilian director Kev Clark and the building director decided that Your Song would be a good song to sing. Which at the start it was quite funny. It was sort of sung on the building site, but after about 100 times,
two weeks of everyone singing
it's
Your
a little
Song
bit funny.
Every day.
You got a bit fed up.
But they've made a video of it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so it hasn't yet come out.
But, I haven't seen that. I'll look forward to seeing
it. It'll be a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much, Daniel and George, and good luck in your future endeavours. I think we should hear Elton John, don't you? You can sing along if you like.
Oh, I'm not sure.
No?
He can.
Anyway, for all the Lions Roar team, this is Elton John. Well done, everybody.
Thank you very much.
And cheers, thanks.
Your song.
Cheers.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside.